Artcentric Podcast with Rafi and Klee.
Hola, you amazing artists. It's Rafi.
And Klee.
And welcome back to the podcast. We've been gone for a while as we figure out our own lives. That's basically what we've been doing is figuring out schedules and stuff like that. And the nice thing is that didn't even realize it, but this podcast is about taking control of your art career.
Yeah.
Which really is in line with where we've been. Where we've been, because after we moved and stuff, we, you know, your priorities kind of shift in life, and that's good because that's the ebb and flow of life.
Yeah.
But after we moved, you know, the studio was shut down. There was a lot of things going on, even before the move, and we didn't take time out to, you know, although we did a lot of reevaluating and looking at things on a level of, does this make sense? You know, like kind of like on that level of like, how can we logically put some kind of thing together? We never took the time. We didn't really take the time out to see how it is that we feel. And I think that taking control of your life, taking control of your art career, taking control of anything that's going on, really that comes down to where you are in your chest, where you are in your feelings when it comes to doing what you do. And I love that we're going to have this conversation because I think one of the things that gets very overlooked as far as like advice blogs or anything like that when it comes to doing the art thing is that a lot of times they're approaching it from a very intellectual point of view. Well, if you do this, then it will result in this. And for a lot of us, especially, you know, us as diverse as we are as artists or just as human beings, our approach really cannot be formulaic. You know what I mean? Like it cannot be formulaic. And a big thing that we're really taking a look at here is how it was that we started our career, which was very much follow your bliss, follow your feelings, you know.
What excites you.
Do what excites you, follow your joy. And I think that, you know, this podcast is going to be great for people that have been doing this art career thing for a while or even people that are just getting started because really at the core of it, it's maintaining that way of being, that way of like, you know, just doing the things that excite you, even if they don't make sense. Any of the great things that have happened in our art career, like when I look at my resume, and I see some of the stuff that I have on my resume as an artist, a lot of times I look at that, I'm like, holy shit, like, that's amazing. Could I have planned for that stuff? No. But I could tell you right now that everything good that has really come out of what we do has happened because we were following our bliss. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times following our bliss despite what our brains were telling us.
Definitely. I had a visual this morning that sort of visually illustrated for me, like if I looked at my timeline, there was like a little imaginary Klee avatar. And anytime Klee was holding a measuring stick in her hand, she actually wasn't doing herself any favors. And anytime Klee was having a good time, that's where I saw in the timeline that the really cool stuff was happening. And then it was like later on, she was holding a measuring stick trying to understand it, but she was actually in those times sort of like slowing down the flow for herself.
And by the way, you guys, we have our amazing Rogue Artist family here with us. So if you hear us reading any comments or, you know, the Rogues love sharing their comments, their questions, and anything like that, that's who we're reading it from. They are absolutely brilliant and make these podcasts so much more fun. I guess what we're saying with everything that we've said in the beginning of this is that control in of itself, there's this factor of control, like where you're trying to control outcomes, right? If I do this, then it's going to result in this. If I do this, then it's going to result in that, right? And we try to logically like put the puzzle pieces together. And the truth is that you will always have a gut feeling. You will always have something, some kind of intuition that comes from somewhere else where you're following your bliss. There is no way that I could have predicted that because I did a scavenger hunt 1 year where at the end of that scavenger hunt, like I felt like there was zero responses, right? Like maybe like one or two people reached out and they were like, thank you so much for doing this little art drop and things like that. And then a year later, someone approached me who happened to find one of my pieces and then hired us to do a major installation. I could have never predicted that. In fact, right after I did the art drop, my brain was like, well, this was a failure, you know, and immediately felt discouraged. Like, all right, well, I'm not going to, because financially I was trying to weigh out these outcomes. And that's the thing. It's like a lot of times we try to logic our way into something, into being able to do something or some kind of outcome. And at the end of the day, I'm sure all of you guys feel this in the process of creating, is you get blocked when you try to logic your way through creating something. Mm-hmm. You know, whenever I get a commission, that's the biggest battle that I have to fight, right? Because immediately I get a commission and then I am thinking about what the person wants, right? So instead of thinking about what I want, I try to predict the outcome of what the person wants. And then I try to logic my way there where it's like, all right, well, they want this or they want that. And instead of feeling my way through the painting, it becomes this big tug of war. And I really, really struggle with that commission. And it's not up until the point where I've struggled with it long enough. And then I'm like, you know what? It is what it is. I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to create what I want to create. And then the commission will flow.
There's really, a letting go.
Yeah, there's a letting go. There's a releasing. There's a surrendering to that. And I want to say that this is probably the first time that Klee and I have looked at like all the things that we do with the art, with the jewelry, with the music, with our community, with things like that, with YouTube. And we're really looking at that idea of surrendering versus trying to maintain some kind of control or some kind of status quo.
Yeah. So this, like, on the surface kind of sounds counter to control, but I'm coming around and remembering that what I thought was control is actually not. So in looking at myself and actually in talking with a lot of the Rogue fam too, one-on-one, a lot of what I'm hearing from myself and other creatives is kind of a micromanagement thing. It's like I'm doing all these things, which inherently there's nothing wrong with doing a lot of things.
I mean, they're just things. You're just doing the things.
I'm doing all these things, and one of two feelings is happening. I'm either doing all these things and I'm feeling really on top of my game, or I'm doing all these things and I'm feeling really overwhelmed. And I feel like you can kind of fluctuate between those two when you're doing a lot of things. But the thing that I'm kind of hearing across the board from me, from him, from the Rogue fam, from our greater community is like, I'm doing all these things and I feel really tired and I feel kind of drained and I can't hear my intuition. And I think that was one of the things that really struck me recently. It was like, I can't really hear my gut feelings right now. I can't really hear my intuition. I just feel really tired. And I started looking at like, am I in control or am I micromanaging and draining myself of energy? Because it takes a lot of energy to keep a lot of things in place when you're coming from an emotional state that's not recharging your batteries.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
That's a really good way of putting it. I mean, the thing is that, like, you know, and I'm sure you guys out there have felt this, where you get up in the morning and you've got your art career stuff. You've given yourself all these things that you have to do. Oh, well, I have to do marketing. I have to create the stuff. And then you have personal life stuff, like, well, there's this thing going on and there's this thing going on. And then you find yourself trying to juggle everything. And what happens a lot is that then you like look up stuff, right? Because you're frustrated. You look up stuff and you're like, how do I make things easier on myself? How do I manage things? And then you find some kind of system, right? And it's kind of like dieting. You know, you find this thing, you allow yourself to focus on this thing, and then you're like doing this thing. And because of that, you're changing some habits for yourself. And you decide that you're going to pour your energy into doing it a certain way. And it works, right, for a little while until it doesn't. And then when it doesn't, it almost feels like a reflection of, I failed.
This means I suck, right?
This means I suck. Other people are able to do this. Why are other people able to, like, not be frustrated, not be this, not be that? And, like, I think a lot of times we're trying to mask what's underneath, right? What's underneath is, you know, when it comes to, if I'm setting some kind of ridiculous financial goal for myself when it comes to my art career, I have to stop and think, like, why is it, you know, what is the insecurity underneath that is causing me to put my focus on this versus putting my focus on just creating the art, you know, mm-hmm. or just putting it out there in some way, shape, or form.
I realized recently that so much of what I was trying to do as a jewelry artist was based on all these things that I accepted as what you're supposed to be doing as a jeweler. I had piled a lot of rules for myself on top of my creativity. Like everything from when you want to be respected as a jeweler, then you can only work with fine materials. Like you could only work in gold and silver, or you could only work in this way, or like this technique is more respectable than other. Like there's a lot of stuff that I picked up over the years. And because I was in various stages of insecurity and discovering myself, there were things that I accepted that I either didn't realize I was accepting, or I was accepting because I just felt like this is what you have to accept as reality if you want to make it in the jewelry industry. And you could apply that to any art area that you're working in. Little kid me was kind of sad behind the scenes because the creativity was being squashed by all these rules that I was piling on top of my creative process. And then I reached a point recently where I was like, I don't even know where I'm going with this. Like, I don't know what's my voice and what are these voices that I've taken in and accepted as what has to be. And so I've started sifting through that pile of stuff. Like, this belief doesn't actually belong to me. Neither does this one. Neither does this one. Neither does this one. Do I even care about being respected in the jewelry industry? Or do I just think rocks are magical and like I just want to create magical talismans for people that resonate with them? And once I started to kind of scoop the poop out of that pile, if you will, little kid me started to feel like maybe she could approach this topic again. Because I'm going to be honest, I actually got myself to a point where I couldn't understand whether I even wanted to continue doing jewelry. I had piled so much on top of it. And so much of it was like other people's ideas of what ambition should look like.
Yeah. Other people's ideas of what success looks like. Other people's ideas, you know, and those thoughts come up. And, you know, a good practice that Clea and I have been doing is just asking ourselves, like, whose thought is this?
Like, does this belong to me?
Does this belong to me? Is this mine? Because we get locked in, you know. And in the conversations that we had, it's funny how that happens, right? So I'm doing this for a long time. There's all these perceptions and perspectives in the world. And if I'm carrying any kind of insecurity with me throughout my journey as an artist, then all of a sudden, you know, it's like, well, if I want to be respected as an artist, A, I need to work in oils. B, I need to be in these types of galleries, not these galleries, not doing these shows, not doing, you know, not starting at the flea market. The subject matter that I create has to be a certain way. You can't just do this. You have to do this. The type of canvas that you need to use has to be this way. Like all these arbitrary rules come up to the surface. And a lot of times we don't even, it's almost like you don't even pay attention to it, right? It just kind of like, it pops up into the world and you see it, and then you kind of adopt that thing. And at the end of the day, I love that you mentioned like little Klee, because at the end of the day, this was an exercise that I did as well, where I kind of like looked at all these rules, right? All the art rules that exist of what real art is and what real art isn't, or what I should be doing. You know, and this is why I say, whether you're just starting out or you've been doing this for a while, it doesn't matter. This is a great thing to look at, because I've been doing this for a while and slowly but surely started adding the bars to my own cage by taking on a belief that isn't necessarily mine. So like, I look at my younger self, the one, you know, and I'm in this studio, this magical place where there's paint and canvas and all these art supplies, right? And they're so fun. And then this small version of me comes down, looks around, is like, oh, this is so exciting. And could I do something? Could I create something? And then I come in and I say, yes, but if you create, make sure that you're using these type of materials. And if you're going to create something, it should be this kind of subject matter. And if you're going to create something, it should be like, all of a sudden I start applying all these rules and stifle that natural creation, that creative force that lives within you, the thing that we tap into when we're in the flow, where you're not overthinking things.
Can you imagine inviting a little kid into your art studio? And like, would you say that stuff to a little kid? Make sure that what you're doing there is marketable.
Yeah.
you know, like, what kind of galleries are you going to approach? Like 8-year-old you?
Yeah. It's ridiculous. And yet that's what we do to ourselves. Lynn says, so wise, Klee, I wonder how much of that not hearing intuition is related to the constant social media. Oh, Lynn, absolutely. That's actually something that I'm taking a look at now, because mm-hmm. you guys know from videos that I have out there where I'm like, I just use social media as a, you know, as almost like a public journal. Like, I'm just going to post things that I want to remember, things that are like, that I look back at, I'm like, wow, that's amazing. Or something like that. Well, after the move, something weird happened, because, you know, I took a small hiatus from social media. And then all of a sudden, I started looking at what the response rate was. And without even paying attention, all of a sudden, my focus, not all of a sudden, it took a small time where I wasn't focused on that. I was thinking about other things. All of a sudden, my focus moved from just keeping it as my public journal, right, for myself, to what are people responding to the most. And I'll be honest with you, for a good while there, I just stopped posting on social media because it became frustrating. It became whatever. And then immediately you look at stuff. I want to do a video on this because I think this is really powerful. You look at stuff and you basically post on social media and you create this habit of every time you post on social media, you feel less than, you feel worse, you feel terrible. You compare yourself to other people. Why is this person doing this? Why is this, you know, why is this person getting so much attention and yet I'm not getting anything? And you do all this stuff, right? So you feel terrible. Then you blame social media. Well, it's Instagram. It's this, it's that. It's, you know, you blame the platform, you blame other people, you blame all this stuff. You leave the experience feeling horrible. And then you expect to hold yourself accountable to like posting on social media. So then now you're feeling horrible because you're not posting on social media, and you're feeling horrible when you do post on social media. And at that point, it's like, what's the point of that? And it's so funny because it's such a minimal, like I look at social media, I'm like, who cares? You know, it's just social media. But in that place, you hold it up here like it's this like vital, important thing in your life. And you're doing it because you need to get this versus you're doing it for yourself where you're getting something out of it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And that's what I mean when I say when you're holding the measuring stick, when you're looking at the analytics or you're comparing yourself against what other people are doing, or you're trying to reverse engineer things that worked for you to try to make a repeatable process that you can follow from now until the end of time. That is part of that external influence that can suck the joy. And it can definitely come from social media. For me, part of it was social media. Part of it was, and this was a big one for me, I had like mentors that I really respected and admired, and they had ideas. And it's not like they were coming from a negative place, but it was like little just bits of information that I picked up from these people that I looked up to that I turned into rules for myself. So like if somebody that I was doing contract work for was really excited about fine jewelry that looked a certain way, then I was like, that's the direction I need to be headed, you know, or just little things like that, that in the moment you almost don't even realize that you're accepting them as a belief system or as a truth. And they seem kind of innocuous, but then they can turn into a bar in your cage.
Yeah.
If you're not aware.
Yeah. And they really come down to that, like self-esteem, mm-hmm. how you feel about yourself and your place in the world, where you look at something like that and somewhere in your brain, it logically clicks. Oh, that means I need to be creating work that is like this. Oh, that means that I need to be using these kind of materials because that's what's taken seriously and mm-hmm. da, 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 da. And then there's this story and this narrative. And really, at the end of the day, you know, when it comes down to it, if something connects and resonates with somebody, something that you created, it literally, and I've seen this evidence in my life, and yet my brain wants to do this. It literally doesn't matter what it's made out of.
It doesn't.
Like, it really doesn't matter what it's made out of or how much time you took to create it and stuff. Because that was another measure that I started adding to it, that, like, if I created something quickly, it had less value than something that I spent more time on, you know. And that's the irony of it, is that, like, even the evidence of life, you know, Picasso was lauded because he created pieces quickly. He created art really fast. And that's because Picasso tapped into that flowing place in creating the art. So the time didn't matter. So it's like, you know, and that has to do with falling into that mindscape of time is money, right? And we look at the way that society is now. And it's almost like, so back in the day, we got paid for our creation, right? It didn't matter how much time it took. It didn't matter how much, you know, whatever, how much you got paid for your creation, for the thing that you created. We live in a landscape now where we basically get paid for our time, and we don't get paid enough for our time, right? I'm making $10 an hour. And then you go to work and you work 5 hours and you walk out of there and you make $50. You know, less taxes, less this, less that. And it's like that's kind of the world that we've gotten used to living in. So we try to apply that to this creative force that lives within us, that like we're creating something, we're birthing something into existence, and we try to measure it by this idea of time. And, you know, and I get that. And there's nothing wrong with like calculating time if you're like, all right, well, how much do I want to get paid an hour and stuff like that? Mm-hmm. But I think the problem is when you start taking it way too seriously and you start using it against yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's where it's like there needs to be a different perspective on these factors when you're looking at it, because it all comes down to the feeling place, to the emotions that you feel. And most of the time, you guys, we are paying way too much attention to what's going on up here and not enough attention to what's going on in here. The intuitive nature, the fact that, like, you know when something feels off.
Definitely.
But you talk yourself into it with your mind and you're like, no, we got to do it this way because this is the way that it needs to be done.
And we spend, I won't speak for everybody, but I know that I have spent a lot more time trying to problem solve what wasn't working instead of focusing on what is going well. And I think a lot of people do this because we think we're going to problem solve what isn't working and make it better. And that simply is not true. It's not true for me anyway. So like, I'll give you an example. I really like my jewelry and my music, but it's very possible to have this thought. If my work is really as good as I think it is, shouldn't I have a bigger fan base? Shouldn't I be making more money? shouldn't I have more awards? Why don't I have those things, right? Does that feel good?
Yeah.
Does that feel like a place that's going to inspire you to create more?
No.
It kills it. It kills it. And yet, we spend that time spinning that narrative. Oh, I must not be as good as I think I am. Or I must just not get how this works. Or I must just be failing in some way that I can't see. Let me try to problem solve the fact that I suck.
Yeah.
Like, creative flow can't come from there. And so I think in some ways it's a really simple practice of just shifting your focus to what actually does inspire you to create. And let me tell you, making money isn't a thing going to inspire you to create.
Yeah. Making money is a roller coaster. The money aspect of it is a roller coaster ride. Money, when I am in a flow state, money is a byproduct of that. Mm-hmm. And it's remembering that because, you know, and you guys have heard us say it time and time again, don't chase the money. And there's a reason why, because money is essentially a byproduct of you following your bliss, of you doing the things, being inspired, being happy, maintaining that energy, right? Because like what Klee was saying, if you're in a place where you're like talking yourself down and constantly feel like you're not doing the right thing, like, oh, I'm just missing opportunity, everything, then you're focused on what the problem is, and that is not going to get you boost your energy. That's not going to get you motivated. That's not going to inspire you. And essentially, it's like we've gotten in the habit of being in this place where you're constantly focused on what's not working with the intention to fix it. And when you come from a place where you're like, nothing needs to be fixed, I just need to focus on what is working, mm-hmm. and the things that inspire me, the things that keep me going.
We know this is true from behavioral studies, not only with kids, but with employees. So like, imagine you own a company and you have one employee, okay? And every day you come in and you tell your employee everything that they're doing wrong, and you want to improve the situation, and every day you come in and you're like, this is what sucks, this is what isn't working, this is what you're doing wrong, please spend the next 8 hours fixing it. And you come in the next day, do you think that you're going to see any improvement the next day? We know this, that by focusing on what is working,
there's been study after study after study on this, and yet we turn in on ourselves and become like the shitty boss. We become the shitty boss.
Totally.
And it's like what Wendell says here. Focus on your strengths, on the things you find easy, on the things that are fun. Forget the rest of it. Mm-hmm. That's brilliant, Wendell. Mm-hmm. Let's read some of these comments.
Okay.
Rachel says, this is so spot on, Klee. Fatigue sucking out all the inspiration. Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. When you're, and you could feel the difference, right? When you're focused on what's going wrong, right? And trying to find a solution for, A, we all know that you're never going to find a solution when you're sitting in the problem. Mm-hmm. So you might as well focus on what is working, right? The things that bring you joy, and forget the rest, mm-hmm. because all the pieces fall into place. And that sounds very like, airy fairy and all that stuff. But the thing is that it's the word, you've seen evidence of that in your life. I know for sure, because I've seen evidence of that. And I know that the feeling place that you're in, right? Which is ironic, because I actually just got a comment on YouTube that like, it's good that you're making a change because you've been talking too much about feelings.
Oh boy. Well.
And it's like, oh yeah, okay. Yeah. But that's the place. That's the place that keeps you fired up. That's the place that keeps you motivated. And I think that we spend way too much. We've put way too much emphasis on what happens in your brain versus what is happening in your heart. I don't think that the brain was meant to be in charge. I think the brain is meant to be the logical center that looks at things hindsight, but really you need to be led by your heart.
Somebody said, and I love the quote, that the brain makes an excellent servant but a poor master.
Yeah.
And that really resonates with me. And I think when you're looking at what sucks, it literally sucks. It literally sucks your creative energy. And also, this is a process, right? So like for me, from the time that I was so burned out that I was like going to burn it all to the ground, to the place where I could start to hear my intuition again and start to unpack this and start to have these realizations was at least a month. At least a yeah. month of deliberately making time to be with myself.
Yeah, we're still
have these conversations.
We're still in a process of getting to a place. We probably will always be in a process of getting to a mm-hmm. place. But like that's the thing. It's like, you know, we're consciously aware with our brain. We take in I think it's like 80 bits of information. You've got this very limited pool of information that you look at based on what you're feeling, what you're thinking, all that stuff. And yet underneath that intuition part, we take in, now think about it, 80,000 bits of information versus I think it's like 16 million bits. It's a huge...
It's some unquantifiable
it's
number.
It's a yeah. huge thing. You're taking in all this information, and so you have a grander picture of what is actually going on. And that's your intuition. That's what happens here. Because it doesn't have to go through all the insecurities and all the other stuff that's in your brain. You're basically feeling it. You're feeling it. And, okay, this is how I feel about this project. Let me move forward versus I need to do this because then people will love me. All these silly things that we have in our brain where it's like, I need to do this because then people will respect me. I need to do this because then this will happen. And it's like you've got this much more easy. I mean, there's no mistake that the heart is associated with love. There's this easy flow state that you could be in, and in realizing that, like, man, I've been driving myself crazy and being exhausted by overthinking things and trying to predict outcomes, and it's like almost pretending like you are a clairvoyant, you know, in your brain, like, oh, if I do this then this will assuredly happen. And it's like, that's not how it works.
On hand said, I've been told it's about making your own luck, but yeah, it's draining to push past all the fear and emotions.
Absolutely, on hand.
I would like to talk about that for a second, because the fear and emotions, right? You decide you're going to focus on what works. Does that mean that horrible feelings aren't going to come up for you? Nope. In fact, what I'm discovering is that you're going to feel those feelings even stronger when you start to do this. Because they're going to feel increasingly off to you. And some days it's going to feel really painful. And instead of being like, oh, I just feel that way because I'm stupid, push it aside and barrel forward. It can be a little difficult to sit with your emotions and be like, hey, does this feeling belong to me? Or is this just like stuff that I've collected from other people? B, if this feeling does belong to me, what narrative am I spinning about myself that's making me feel horrible? And what am I going to do from here? I've been literally chucking my shitty beliefs that don't serve me into an imaginary recycling bin that catches on fire and incinerates the belief. I've been watching them get incinerated. But whatever you can do to actually like sit with the feeling, acknowledge that you have it, ask yourself if it belongs to you or if it's just a piece of garbage you picked up on your journey, and know that you don't have to keep it around. Sometimes it feels really hard and sometimes it feels exhilarating.
Yeah.
And neither one is good or bad. Like whether it feels hard or it feels exhilarating, I think it's kind of the full range. But it's part of that sifting through, clearing up your what? Clearing up yourself.
Yeah, clearing yourself up.
Mm-hmm.
Shroy says, but I think, and this is to the commission part, but mm-hmm. I think if someone hires you for a commission, they usually hire you to do you and not what they would do. Yeah,
right?
Exactly. It all takes place in your brain where you're like, it's got to be a certain way. And then you drive yourself crazy doing it.
Valerie said, my full-time side hustle is really stopping the creative juices from flowing.
Yeah.
Whether it's a corporate side hustle or you've turned your creative process into an energy drain, it like really is about what you're focused on and how you're seeing it. And some things are going to be harder than others, right? Especially if you find yourself doing something you don't want to be doing.
Laska just said, oh my God, I just made an imaginary garbage thought trash can incinerator.
It's so satisfying to throw your garbage thoughts into that bin and watch it catch on fire. Live Yummy said, yes. It's exhausting measuring, editing everything I'm doing as I'm doing it, comparing it to everything else I could / should be doing versus other artists' social media posts versus what I guess might sell.
Oh, right? My God, so good. You've
beautifully illustrated what that feels like.
Yeah.
When you're, and we could be so unaware of it because that just feels like what you should be doing.
That feels normal.
Yeah.
That feels normal. That's you know, if you look up any information on social media, it's basically, it's a list of kind of like Live Yummy. It's like adding bars to my own cage. Oh, what an image. It basically is, you look at all these like should do's, this is what you need to do, you know, because they're reading analytics, they're seeing this is what worked for this person and this is what worked for that person. And then next thing you know, you might as well take that and just create that bar, because now you've created this space where you're trying to logically make sense of someone else's success, right? And that's the thing. That's why, like in our videos, I've never been able to say, do this step one, do this step two, do this step three, step four, step one through 98, and then you will be where we are, because it just doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. And really the thing that's going to lead you forward is your intuition and your gut and those things that feel right to you. Because if not, listen, you could do everything that I did and get to the place where I'm at, but this is my place.
Right.
How are you to say that because there's this image of my success and my happiness, that this is what's going to make you happy? It's not. It's not. Because your journey is going to be different than mine. Just like my journey is going to be different than someone who I'm comparing myself to. You know? And so like we all want different things and there are subtle differences there. And the only way to get there is to trust what's going on inside of you, not to look outside of you for the answers to what you should do next.
And it is. It's really easy to think that those external things are what you're supposed to do. And a lot of people are telling you on the internet that this is what you should be doing.
Yeah.
And all the while, you're like, I don't like this. I don't feel good. And that's like, that is your inner knowing. Like, no, we don't resonate with this, but you ignore it because you think, well, I just don't know.
Yeah.
So, and these people know, but the truth is nobody could ever know. Like your guidance system really is the thing to listen to.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like I had, you know, as far as like success is concerned, like I had everything that was that in my old life. I had the good job. I was making a lot of money. I had the house, the cars, the whole nine yards. I had everything that I was told you needed in order to be happy. And I was not happy. I was not happy. And that's the thing. It's like, I look at this now where like, this is basically all the components are there. And if I'm not happy, that means that I'm trying to live someone else's life. It's plain and simple. Like, In that's why I think it's important that a lot of these thoughts that come up in your mind that cause you to go down into this stream of you know, this downward spiral, you have to question those thoughts and be like, is this mine? It's kind of like Teresa is saying, it's easier to say what you don't want instead of focusing on clearly what you do want to move towards. That's so true. I don't know that it's easier. I think that it's easier because it's much more normal. It's much more accepted, even in conversation. You know, a lot of times people want to know, well, what's wrong? You know, what can I do to help and all that stuff? And that's really great. But then it focuses the conversation on that place. You got to think of commiseration. Like people leave, you know, they're out of work. They're sitting at the bar together. And what are they doing? They're not talking about the things that they love. about their job or their day or anything like that, they're going to be able to commiserate. It's easier because of the culture to talk about the things that are going wrong instead of talking about the things that are going right. In fact, a lot of times we avoid talking about the things that are going right because you might turn into a pariah.
And you know, we don't want people to hate us.
Yeah, we don't want people to hate us because we're focused on what's going right and our life is, you know, seems to be going really well and stuff. And they're like, oh, that's nice for you. You know, and so like it's easier simply because it's much more accepted. And in my mind, I'm like, yeah, that's a programming, that's a thought or a belief system that isn't working for me. And I need to just eliminate that from my life. I don't give a shit if people, you know, like I'm going to talk about what's working. I'm not going to just exclaim and reiterate what's not working over and over and over and feel like shit because of it. And I think that it really is. It's when you start really looking at this stuff and breaking down the logic that causes you to persist in this area, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense at all because you're like, why am I doing this if I know for a fact that it's not helping me get anywhere?
Right. And it can fly so much under the radar. I had the realization this morning as a new song has been released into the world this morning, and I realized that I've been thinking, and it almost sounds good. It almost sounds like this thought is positive, and I think that's why it flew under the radar for so long. The thought was, man, I really like our music. I'm really proud of my music. I'm really proud of our music. I just wish more people knew it existed. I don't know what I could do about that. It's Spotify's fault. And it's this whole rabbit hole, and I realize, oh my gosh, that thought sounds good on the surface. I'm really proud of my music. That's good. I am really proud of my music. But then it's disempowering for me to say, I just wish more people knew it existed. Now, that's true. I want more people to hear our music.
But then you go into what Live Yummy was saying, which is like editing everything, and I'm doing as I'm doing it, comparing it to everything else, it could or should be doing versus.
And how do I bend Spotify to my will? Spotify's huge.
The algorithm.
Like you're up against this insurmountable mechanism that's working against you. And does that produce a fulfilling, fun, inspired musical career going forward? No. No, it doesn't.
No.
I can tell you. So, like, for me, I was like, ooh, wow, 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 wow. So I'm just going to focus going forward on, like, music is fun for me. I never started making music because I was concerned about my global reach. I just love music. I love my music. And I'm loving creating my music. And I do think that it's going to reach who it's right for, you know, like people are going to resonate with
it. That's getting to the core of why you do what you do.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing, whether you're starting out or it's been a while and you've been doing this for a while, it's easy for all that information to get jumbled up because there's a lot of people that out there that are desperate to make it to a certain place, right? Thinking that there's an end destination. And really, when you're a creative person, there is no end destination. It's just a journey of evolving.
Mm-hmm.
You're constantly doing something new. And if you don't, then you get trapped in that cage, you know? And it's all these different cages that we try to trap ourselves in.
Yeah, call it the trappings of success for a reason, said On Hand.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I love that. The trappings of success.
They do
That's
say
brilliant.
That.
Brilliant. Inner Flow said, this is 100% why I have crayons and finger paints. Sometimes little Inner Flow needs to play. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Wendell said we definitely build our own cages. We do. And I think once you kind of really become aware of that, then you can see also, right, the good news about that is that you built it, so you totally know how to disassemble it.
Yeah, exactly.
And you don't even have to, if you don't want to, you don't even have to disassemble the cage. You could just
slide through the bars.
Just slide through the bars and step out of it. Leave it behind. Incinerate your garbage thoughts as they come up. Alaska was like, oh my God, I just made an imaginary garbage thought trash can incinerator.
Diego said, I feel like you guys are my mentors. Thank you, Diego. The truth is that we're in this together.
Yep.
We're in this together. And luckily for us, we have a platform that we've created over time that allows us to share these things, you know, because it's not all unicorn farts and rainbows. Like, it just isn't. Like, doing this art career thing really gives you the opportunity to go to run deep into some stuff that is like, you're keeping yourself small. And it's not this like normal, like this is the formula for success. You know, it is understanding that everyone is different. And if we're not having these conversations, then what the hell are we talking about? You know, when it comes to like being a creative and creating stuff and putting it out in the world, what's going to work there? This is step one through step B. Let's take this formulaic thing, take creativity, and try to condense it down to this formula of success. And it just doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way.
Plus, it's boring.
Yeah, it's very boring.
What a fucking snooze fest to try and box in this thing and then just reproduce it 5,000 times until you're a millionaire.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Like, and I know there's going to be people out there that are like, oh, okay, so I'm going to change my feelings and then everything's going to get better. And I'm like, yeah.
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 Yeah, you're going to feel better.
You're going to feel better and you're going to want to create.
And from that place, you feel good. You're not narrowed in on what's going wrong. You feel good. You get more inspired thought. You have more access to opportunities because you're actually focused on the opportunities, because you can't focus on opportunities when you're focused on everything going wrong. You just can't. Your brain is blocking that out because that information doesn't make sense in the world that you've created in your mind. It doesn't make sense. So you literally delete information from your awareness because you're so focused on what's going wrong.
Or you're ignoring your good ideas. Man, I've had more good ideas in the past like week of like doing this emotional work than I've had in who knows how long.
Yep.
So I will stand up and say, yes, yes, this work is the stuff. This is the stuff for me.
Yep. Wendell says, focus on... Oh, I reread that.
Anhan said, I thought my big breakthrough was when my parents started being proud of my art, and then I realized it was when I started being proud of it.
I love it, Anhan.
That's
yes,
a beautiful realization.
That is a beautiful realization.
Wendell said, focus on your strengths, on the things that you find easy, on the things that are fun, forget the rest of it.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Jinja said, when I was a kid, my parents stealth called us hot messes by declaring you're a meatball, like goofball, except not. Some days don't go as planned and you just need to embrace the meatball.
I love it,
absolutely,
Jinja.
I love that.
Instead of fixating on it, because we all know fixating does nothing. Fixating is a great word to use for that. I've been using ruminating. But fixating is kind of in that same realm, and we know that it's not useful.
Shroy says, all you can do is focus on what you control, make the best art or work you can do, and don't worry about how people respond to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the only thing that you have any control over is what your point of view is, what you decide your point of view is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's the biggest strength that we have, is understanding, like, just because this is what is true, quote unquote, true in the world, doesn't mean that it needs to be true for me. And that is okay.
Yep.
Because there are no things that are true across the board, right? There just aren't. There is what is true for you and what is true for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And then determining basically from your own intuition, well, does this feel good? You know, is this something that I, you know, obviously if I'm focused on what's going wrong, that's not going to make me feel good. If I'm focused on, oh, I need to get this right, that's not going to make me feel good. So it's just, you know, you do the best that you can with what feels good to you.
Yeah. And it really does remove right and wrong from the equation. Like, it either feels good or it doesn't.
Yep.
And on that note, like, we're not saying we're right.
No,
is just what we're doing right
now. This is just what we're doing. This is our perspective. And the thing is that perspectives change and grow and evolve as you're doing this thing. But if you're not looking at it and you're just kind of like living this record, right, where you were just doing the same thing and just looking at your life and looking at your life in cycles and wondering, why does this keep happening to me? Why does this keep happening to me? And you're not looking internal to like really determine like, what is my perspective on this? Am I the one creating this cycle that's happening over and over again? Am I waiting for things to change even though I'm not willing to change? And the truth is, like, change has to happen with you. Mm-hmm. If you're waiting around for it to happen, it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen.
You're the center of the wheel, man. If the wheel's not rolling.
Yeah. Exactly.
Valerie said, you guys always hit on the things I need to hear at the time. The way you break it down helps me so much. Oh, thanks, Valerie.
Thank you, Valerie. That's just us breaking it down for ourselves.
Totally. Jinja said, Klee, I have multiple friends who have shared your music with their healthcare teams. Maximum wholesome healing vibes. Even if a million people don't sing along yet, we all recognize the quality there. Thank you, Jinja.
Thank you, Jinja.
And that's exactly, like, instead of what I had illustrated earlier, like, why doesn't everyone know? What I have chosen now to focus on is like that kind of vibe, right?
Yeah.
People are finding benefit from this thing. That is so cool. I've received emails of like, this song helped me bond with my daughter, or like, I don't know, it just puts me in a good place when I'm folding my underwear and it brightens that moment for me, or whatever, you know, whatever it is, like, I love that. That's amazing. Why would I choose to focus on anything that feels crappy when I could just look at that?
When you have that, that's available to you, and you're like, no, no, I'm not going to focus on that good thing that's available to me. I'm going to focus on this over here. And it's like, you have a choice every moment to be able to do that. Laska says, persevering.
Perseverating?
Perseverating.
And the why do we do that is because we have been told to believe that you have to focus on the problem and find a solution for it, because the alternative is that you're ignoring the problem and it's going to grow. And there is truth in that. If you are repressing stuff or you are pushing stuff away, like, I don't want to look at this, but you're still having an icky feeling on the inside, then, yeah, life might keep showing that thing to you until you face it.
Yeah.
There is truth there. But it doesn't mean you have to live your life in problem-solving mode. Like, when something comes up for you, you could sit with it and feel your way through it, but also be focused on what does work.
I'll be right back, and then we'll end the podcast. I'll be back. Sorry.
All right.
Sorry.
Well, we'll just sit here together, because I don't think there's any other...
Do a meditation.
Okay. So one of the things that I have been doing, I think we've had a conversation with a few of you rogues. I've been actively doing nothing is kind of what I've been saying. But it's not that I'm doing nothing. I've actually been sitting pretty quietly and just breathing. And of course my analytical mind wants to fight against that and be like, what are you doing to further your career right now? And I've had to sit with that and be like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't have answers for you, analytical mind, but I've just been sitting and breathing and letting stuff come up when it does, and kind of sitting with it and doing the practice of like, does this thought even belong to me? If not, it goes immediately in the incinerator recycling bin. Or, okay, maybe this is something I need to look at. And not even like actively trying to problem solve it, just kind of sitting with it and seeing what happens. But it sounds so simple, but just sitting and breathing has changed things in ways that are hard to explain. Oh, Ginny, I'll wait a second to read your comment. I was just describing how...
Sorry.
That's okay.
That's pee. That was like the longest pee I've ever taken in my life.
I was just telling the rogues about how I've been actively doing nothing and sitting and breathing and just letting stuff come up as it does, and how my analytical brain is like, but what are you doing to further your art career? And I'm like, I don't know. But it's been pointing me in the right direction. Ginny said, I've said it once, so I'll say it again 1,000 times. The words of my father, if you look for a bug, you're going to find a bug.
That is so good.
That is so good.
That is so good.
Yeah.
It's like a scratch on a record. Records where the plastic disc used to play music in the old days. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Ginger said fixating on the problem is easy. It lets it fester in the exact way you claim it helps prevent. Maybe perhaps consider fixating on other things too. That's wise. That's a good way of seeing. Red Robin said, when I need to actively not think, I go outside and throw peanuts to the neighborhood blue jays. Works every time, and I come back so relaxed.
I love that. And
that's beautiful.
And that's the thing. It's like, you know, finding your center, meditating, is different. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, it's got to be, you need to do this. You need to go find a cave in a mountaintop and relax your breathing and then you whatever. And it's like, really, you could do it with your eyes open. I clear my mind when I'm washing dishes or even when I'm working on something.
I'm doing it right now.
Yeah, exactly. You could have a conversation and you could focus on your breathing and do that. Do it actively and just remember to focus on that. Because it just, when you silence the chaos in your head, you can feel your intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And then through that, you could get to a place where you start to trust your intuition. And I think that at the end of the day, talking about taking control of your art career or anything else really comes down to developing that sense of trust that you know what your best path is. Not anyone else. You know. And that it really is within yourself. And sometimes you have to silence all the craziness that you have learned and kind of reject those thoughts and get to a place where you're listening to the silence within you.
Throwing peanuts to blue jays, sitting and just breathing. I found myself doing this a lot just to connect with myself, and it works. I have been engaged in a little fun exercise where I've been letting my body choose my outfit every day. And the way that I know, because your body is the one that wears your clothes, not your brain. just as a way to like say to myself, I am here and I am listening and you get to pick out what you want to wear today. And whenever I feel the little hoo-hoo-hoo excited tingles, then I know that's what my body wants to wear. It's just an exercise of rebuilding the trust with myself. And I heard something yesterday that really made sense to me that I really liked and I'm going to carry forward also, which is your heart knowing, your intuition, it doesn't spin lengthy, complicated narratives. So if that's what you're hearing in your head, it's probably not your heart knowing. Your heart speaks plain, simple truths, often one sentence or a few words. And it's usually kind of quiet. And that's also how I've been recognizing what my heart is saying versus a narrative that I'm spinning, a yarn that I'm spinning in my brain jar. And so it's really just like reestablishing those connections to yourself.
Yeah. And I feel like it's in that surrender, right? Surrendering in order to get control. That's the irony of
it. Totally.
It's like surrendering because you want to control everything. You want to, if I do this and I do it this way and then it's not working, it's almost like you're trying to turn life into a math problem that is unsolvable and you're just desperately trying to find a solution to this problem versus letting go of the problem and just focusing on your intuition and your passion and your bliss. Joseph Campbell said it time and time again, follow your bliss.
Ah, oh, Joseph Campbell.
Whenever, you know, human. And there's so much power behind that. And it's just, I feel like that you want to take control over your art career, follow your bliss, you know? And I know there's going to be a lot of people out there that are like, oh, this is, you know, it's just platitudes or whatever. And it's like, no, that really is where it's at. We've been listening to our brain for way too long and really listen to your heart. You're an artist. That's where passion comes from. That's where creation comes from. That's where inspiration comes from. It comes from your heart. And I think it's ridiculous that your heart would take a back seat or be completely ignored by what's going on up here.
And it's not just for art, right? When they interview like mathematicians, like theoretical physics mathematicians.
I mean, Einstein.
Yeah. Some of the best math comes out of the passion place.
Yeah.
And then the brain gets on board, which, by the way, they call heart-brain coherence, and it's really cool. Look it up. And then everything's working, and then the math is, like, on. And it's like all the lights are on, and you have access.
Yeah. E equals MC squared did not come from figuring out a logical mathematical thing. It was birthed in the imagination, in mm-hmm. what Einstein called his thought experiments.
Which I love.
That's what they were.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that that's a good place to end the podcast. Hopefully you guys got something out of that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not so straightforward of do this, and this to, you know, take control of your art career. It really is getting to a place where it's like, let me follow my intuition mm-hmm. and really acknowledging that any time that I've followed my gut, any time that I've followed my intuition, it really worked out. And that's simple, like what Klee said, that simple, small voice. And it's familiarizing yourself with that, because if it's complicated, that's not your intuition. If you're figuring out the whys and whens and all this stuff, that's not intuition. That's your that's your brain.
Your heart says things like, if you look for a bug, you're going to find a bug.
Yep.
Your heart says things like, this is my show. This is my playground.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So thank you guys so much for listening. And to the Rogues, thank you so much for being here. I freaking love you guys. It's good to be back.
Yes.
Hanging out with you and having these awesome conversations. And for everybody out there, if you like this and you want to follow us, whatever platform you're on, you could follow or subscribe or whatever it is, go ahead and do that. And we try to do one of these every once in a while, once a week or not. I'm not sure yet.
We're still listening to our intuition.
We're still coming up with a new schedule for that. And thank you so much for being here. I absolutely adore you. And you want to say goodbye, Klee?
Mwah. Good day.
Adios.